In the run-up to the presidential election, we're taking a look at some of the policy ideas that the candidates are campaigning on. Over the past week, Democratic candidates Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren have outlined plans for criminal justice reform that would lead to some of the most sweeping changes in years to sentencing and the prison system. And as he campaigns for re-election, President Trump touts passage of a bipartisan criminal justice reform bill that he signed into law last year. Kimya Dennis joins us now. She's Associate Professor of Criminology at the Notre Dame of Maryland University. Kimya, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you for having me.
So most of the 2020 Democrats agree on a lot of the same ideas, things like limiting mass incarceration. But the ideas being floated by Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, the top progressives in the race, include things like ending solitary confinement in jails and prisons, paying inmates a living wage, and legalizing injection facilities for drug users. Are these ideas pushing the envelope further than you've seen in years on criminal justice reform?
They're pushing the envelope as far as politicians are concerned. But as far as communities are concerned, and what criminologists and criminal justice professionals discuss, we've been discussing this for decades. So it's only pushing it for politicians, because politicians tend to ignore what communities are saying needs to be done for criminal justice reform.
Let's hear from one of those politicians. This is Elizabeth Warren talking about criminal justice reform at a town hall in Los Angeles last Wednesday.
Whatever issue wakes you up in the morning or keeps you up at night, whether it's gun safety, there we go, health care, immigration, criminal justice, whatever is the issue, if there is a decision to be made in Washington, I guarantee it's been influenced by money.
You hear the biggest round of applause there for when she talks about criminal justice reform. She put out a 20-page criminal justice reform plan. She talks not just about criminal justice, but in this language of social justice, talking about inequality for rich and poor, things like better public safety and housing to stop people from turning to crime. That seems like a new chapter in this conversation as well.
It does seem like a new chapter, and it's wonderful because she's focusing on preventive measures. And it's very rare for politicians to focus more on preventive measures. Rather, most politicians, when they speak about criminal justice reform, address putting a Band-Aid essentially on issues that have existed for generations and really for more than a century when we're talking about the issues with policing and who's targeted by police. And so it really is important that Elizabeth Warren is proposing that we not just say, let's challenge the prison system itself, but let's address what's happening that gets people more likely to be in prison in the first place.
Sanders' plan is titled Justice and Safety for All. In it, he criticizes for-profit prison profiteering. Those are his words and more. Here he is speaking on NPR.
Today, 20% of the people who are in jail at this moment, their crime is they are poor. They have been convicted of nothing. They are in jail because they cannot afford cash bail.
What is your understanding of how this cash bail system has contributed to incarceration rates?
Yes. So Bernie Sanders is one of the earlier critics of mass incarceration, and both he and Elizabeth Warren are addressing the cash bail problem. What it means when people are in jail, on bail, and they cannot afford the bail, so they stay in jail much, much longer than necessary. That's important to change that. But one issue I take is when they use this word people, and they do, of course, bring up economic issues, but they're not being completely honest that it's beyond economics. It's also very much, very strongly correlated with race and ethnicity. And so that's what I want all of these politicians, including Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, to say. It's not just about the cash bail system and economic struggle. It's about particular racial and ethnic groups who are targeted by law enforcement and more likely to end up in jails this long and also more likely to be incarcerated if they are tried and convicted.
I wonder what your take is on what I think is a bit of a disconnect between the way the candidates are talking and the way voters are feeling. Because as we see now, at least in the polling as it sits today, a majority of Black voters are very much behind former Vice President Joe Biden, who obviously played a leading role in passing the 1994 crime bill, which is now a flashpoint in the 2020 campaign. Here's Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey taking on Biden over the crime bill in one of the presidential debates.
We have a system right now that's broken. And if you want to compare records, and frankly, I'm shocked that you do, I am happy to do that. Because all of the problems that he is talking about that he created, I actually led the bill that got passed into law that reverses the damage that your bills that you were, frankly, to correct you, Mr. Vice President, you were bragging, calling it the Biden crime bill up till 2015.
Thank you, Senator.
If there's so much opposition to the policies of the 1994 crime bill, why is Biden still so strong among not just Black voters, but all voters who are all Democratic voters?
I think, to be honest, that many Democrats consider Biden to be the most likely to run against Trump. And that might be why Biden is getting so much support. And that perhaps people are hoping that if Biden is the one to run against Trump, that other politicians would align with Biden and help him to be a strong candidate. And what Cory Booker is saying is exactly true. I really do believe we have to look at politicians past.
Biden has expressed some regrets over the effects of the crime bill. He's also offering some new policies of his own. Here he is speaking in a campaign video.
No mandatory minimums, the end of private prison, additional funding for drug courts, bail reform, no juveniles at all in adult prisons, mandatory treatment, not jail for those with drug addiction, decriminalizing marijuana, automatically expunging records for marijuana conviction.
What about this issue of decriminalizing marijuana and Biden's support for it? I mean, is this is a new position for him? It does certainly show some evolution in the ideology of Joe Biden on the issues of criminal justice.
Yeah, so the decriminalization of marijuana is a really big deal. And so to be honest with you, just listening to Biden, he sounds like he's reading one of our intro to criminology or intro to criminal justice textbooks. So you're giving this to us. You're selling us your story. Now, can we trust that when you become president, if that's the case, that we can actually know of any provable and measurable outcomes beyond you just saying, well, I promised this and things happened?
We can't have a conversation about criminal justice reform and not talk about California Senator Kamala Harris. In the second presidential debate last month, Hawaii Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard criticized Kamala Harris's prosecution of death row inmates when Harris was a district attorney and attorney general in California.
You actually blocked evidence from being revealed that would have freed them until you were forced to do so. There is no excuse for that. And the people who suffered under your reign as prosecutor, you owe them an apology.
Senator Harris.
My entire career, I have been personally opposed to the death penalty, and that has never changed.
Kamala Harris seems like she has confronted what many Democrats have confronted in the past, is this combination of wanting to look both tough on crime, but also really receptive to a Democratic Party that has really shifted the way it views the criminal justice system.
Yeah, so in that sense, Kamala Harris is similar to Joe Biden in terms of people throwing their past in their face constantly.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things we talk about when we look at the way the Democratic Party and the Republican Party have viewed the criminal justice system. It's a difficult line for both political parties because when we talk about retribution or punishment versus rehabilitation, there are taxpayers who really believe in punishing people for a crime because they wonder why we should give people who are incarcerated, for example, certain incentives that law-abiding citizens do not have, such as health services. So in that sense, Kamala Harris is interested in reducing recidivism, but we still have to ask, what does that realistically mean? And I also want to add that since Kamala Harris supports reparations for Blacks, African Americans, right, that also adds to criminal justice reform, because reparations, big deal, something that's been discussed for a very long time. And when you talk about reparations, that shapes society in general. and society in general being changed will perhaps change the criminal justice system anyway.
One politician who has followed through is President Trump. You know, he signed the First Step Act into law. He worked with Democrats on that issue. He's also commuted the prison sentences of several nonviolent offenders. Is this an issue where there might be more room for agreement between the polarized right and left than we think?
There can be more agreement, but there has to be consistency. So, as I explain to people all the time, criminal justice reform requires societal reform and cultural reform. So on one end, we cannot say, let's stop mass incarceration, but on the other end, say we're going to insult particular ethnic groups of people. They have to go together. We can't demand change on one end, but then allow mistreatment and discrimination on the other end.
Kimya Dennis is Associate Professor of Criminology at the Notre Dame of Maryland University. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.